everybody, and welcome to the Watershed Wellness Podcast. I'm Eric Gray, and I'm here today with Amanda Barp. Hi, Amanda.
Hello.
It's been a little bit of a hiatus, but we are getting back into it. And today, we just wanted to talk with you about a couple of topics. But first, we want to just talk about the clinics and what's going on with the clinics. So in the Portland clinic, I guess the main thing for both clinics, and this is a shout out to anybody out there, especially in the healthcare industry, is that we're looking for massage therapists, and we're going to be putting up ads on Craigslist, and there's also information on our website about that. But if you know a massage student who'll be graduating soon, or somebody who's recently graduated, we especially like to work with newer massage therapists, try to get them started right in their careers. And Amanda, you want to mention anything at all about that?
Yeah, sure. Just that we're really looking for folks who have really strong technical skills and who also have a really strong orientation towards customer service. That's always been one thing that we've really tried to do with our massages, is just really make people feel comfortable in the space and comfortable with what we're offering, and then also make sure that they're getting what they're coming in for, which is usually some really great therapeutic work. So people who have both of those orientations are typically a really good fit for us. So
totally. Yeah, and we will be looking for Chinese medicine practitioners and other folks, but right now we're really focusing on massage. So that's a big thing that's going on with the clinics. In Portland, one interesting and exciting thing is that we're going to be having an event coming up. It's similar, you know, it has a certain energy like an open house, and that there's going to be food and drink, but we're really trying to make kind of an alternative to going out drinking for the night or something like that, by providing also education and mini treatments. And there's just going to be a lot of stuff going on. And that's the first one we're going to be doing approximately every quarter. And we'll be going back and forth between Portland and Astoria. First one's in Portland. It's going to be coming in April. So please watch out for information about that. Of course, we'll be putting plenty of information out there before the event. And in Astoria, is there anything special going on in Astoria? I mean, we could talk a little bit about yoga, right? So there have been some changes to the schedule.
Sure, we've had a few changes to the schedule. We unfortunately lost our Pilates teacher, Jillian Pig. She's moved on to some other things, which is really great for her.
Yeah.
But just know that those changes are happening on our schedule. And always the best way to know what's happening with us is by looking online, because that's where we have the most updated class schedule. We also have an app that mm-hmm. we use that is specific to Watershed Wellness, and you can just search for Watershed Wellness and it'll come up wherever you get your apps. And there you can see that there are special updates for the classes, and we'll put through different offers and specials that we do occasionally.
Yeah, and I do want to just mention, again, we've already talked about it, but family yoga. Mm-hmm. And so this is a class mostly for younger kids and their parents mm-hmm. To come and just have fun and get used to the movement. And there's also stillness, so it's a great way. You know, I was listening. Jamie is the person who teaches the class, and I was listening in on it. And, you know, she was talking a lot about helping kids to find kind of quiet in their bodies when things get a little wild, and just to give them tools to be able to focus on the breath and to be able to do gentle movement. And it's really remarkable, I think, how quickly kids adapt to that.
Yeah.
Like, it makes sense to kids. And it was really remarkable to kind of hear the quiet and the calm that came.
Yeah.
And that's happening.
That's it. Fridays at 9 a.m.
Right.
The schedule that we got printed says noon, but we very quickly realized that was nap time for a lot of people. So
yeah.
So we switched that class time to 9 a.m. instead, and it's been great. And know too that you don't have to pay for the kids; it's just the parent who pays, and you can do drop-ins or use your current class card. So.
Great. Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah, so I think that's about it on the clinics. But what we were wanting to talk about primarily today, something that comes up so often, and I think for all healthcare practitioners, any healthcare practitioners listening to this will recognize this problem, which is that patients come in and they'll mention things about their bodies that are making them feel embarrassed or ashamed to get on the table. And it comes up all the time. For me, the chief one that happens is when I go to work on people's legs, they'll say, I'm sorry. Women usually will say, I'm sorry, I haven't shaved my legs in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always very jarring for me personally as a practitioner, because I hadn't even been, like, it never would have occurred to me. I never would have even seen that like in a real way. But then all of a sudden I'm thinking about it and like worried about them and worried that they're not able to relax on the table. So that's just one small example of something, but we kind of wanted to talk about all the, you know, many of those types of things that prevent people from accessing care or from going to yoga and getting movement instruction. Mm-hmm. Just because one of the things that's most important to us as a clinic, and this is shared by all our practitioners, is that we want to create a space of true non-judgment for all types of people, not just body image issues, but also social issues, also political issues, just to create a space where everybody can come and access great care. So I don't know if you wanted to bring up something, Amanda, that you've noticed or you know, a particular type of incident, and maybe just chat about that.
Yeah, sure. Many different things. So obviously, as massage therapists, we work very closely with the body and often in an undressed state. So that can bring up a lot of anxiety for people around what's happening with their own bodies, right? From a variety of perspectives. People often comment about their weight, like in an apologetic manner, like, I'm sorry that I have this extra 10 pounds, or like what Eric said, that they'll comment about that they haven't shaved their legs, or conversely for men, that they have a lot of body hair and they feel bad about that. Like, it's going to be an impediment to the treatment that they have body hair.
Yeah.
Or people who are aging and experiencing that in their bodies, you know, making some comments about like wrinkles or just the changes that are happening there. So, you know, as someone who's been practicing for 13 years now, like, I've seen a variety of bodies and I've seen everything.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And know that as a massage therapist, what we're not looking for is those extra 10 pounds or the hairy legs. What we're looking for is like what's happening with you muscularly, what's happening with your structure, how are these patterns that are setting into your body like affecting your daily function and movement, and how can we help you feel the best in this body that you have, right? And so we really do try to approach it from this non-judgmental point of view. And I've had clients tell me, like, thank you for this, that other massage therapists have made comments about their body. And I kind of ride the line. I'm not going to comment about your body one way or the other, right? Like, we're not going to make comments, like, if you have lost weight or if you, you know, have changed something about your body. You know, I don't feel like it's up to us to make those comments either way, because it's just not our place, right? Like, we're looking at things from a more therapeutic standpoint and from a place of like, how can we help you feel the best in your body, rather than like, oh my gosh, you didn't shave your legs today, right?
Like, it just blows my mind. Like, I don't get it. Like, and of course, like, that's my own thing. And even with body hair, which I surely have plenty of relationship with, the, you know, men tend not to say that to me, mm-hmm. right? Like, I don't hear that very often mm-hmm. From male clients because they expect that I understand. And I do think there's some cross-gender stuff that's more difficult, right? Like, I think women, but you hear the leg shaving thing as well.
I do. But, yeah, I do. And I have to say that I have these thoughts too when I go to get massage
sure.
and I take my clothes off, you know, and you think like, oh, what is this person going to think about my body? Well, I mean, it's a very natural thing because we don't have this in our society ever, that we do this in a manner that's not sexual
well,
friendly.
Yeah.
Right. So there's some interesting dynamics that come up when you choose to trust someone else to touch your body in a therapeutic manner.
Well, and you know, I do want to something you just said triggered a thought in me, which is, you know, the reality is if a patient comes in and they lost or gained a dramatic amount of mm-hmm. weight, and I can tell that it's very sudden. That's one thing, right? There can be changes even in hair, right? Mm-hmm. Like if somebody starts losing hair dramatically or they're growing hair in a strange pattern or something, yeah, sure. It's not that I'm going to completely ignore the fact that your body is doing things. But when it comes to the more aesthetic aspects and the cultural aspects, that's really where it's like, you never need to apologize to me because you forgot to shave or you didn't take a shower or you just woke up and so you have bad breath or whatever the things are. Like, I think the thing I want to communicate the most is that those things simply never, for me personally, mm-hmm. I can say with absolute honesty, they never enter my mind. They mm-hmm. do not enter the equation in any way. And I want to encourage everybody, you know, of course, to, you know, if you feel uncomfortable and there's a lack of trust there, that's great. I mean, you should protect yourself, but never to think in the back of your mind that there's some kind of judgment or negative feeling or, you know, insulting ideas coming into my mind or the mind of any other practitioners. And I don't know if that's helpful, mm-hmm. For people to know, But I'd like to think that at least communicating that fact will help somebody to feel a little bit less stressed about
it. For sure.
What else can we say about that?
Well, I just want to mention, too, that that bleeds over to the yoga practice as well. I have people often comment, you know, I've never done yoga, but I'm not flexible, or I'm, like, too overweight, or I can't touch my toes, or what if other people are going to look at me in the class and, like, laugh at me because I can't do X or whatever, you know? And what I typically tell people in this case, too, is that, like, we all start somewhere, first of all, and it is an incredible act of courage to walk into a space that you don't know what's happening. You don't know if it's going to be, like, your correct level. You don't know if the teacher is going to ask you to do something that you don't know how to do, or any of those things, right? So we really do try to provide a space where everybody's welcome and everybody hopefully feels comfortable. But also, too, I recognize that everybody's having their own inner process around this. And what I notice in classes more than anything is that people aren't really looking around at what other people are
doing.
That's
true, yeah.
They're more just like trying to keep their own stuff together.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Or having a more internal experience of whatever's happening. Because yoga's hard, right? Sometimes it's really challenging, and sometimes it's not challenging physically, but it's challenging mentally to ask yourself to slow down and to like be intentful about something.
Absolutely.
And so mostly just that, like, it's okay.
It's okay.
Whatever's happening, whatever process, you know, like that's part of the yoga mindset too, is just like to meet yourself where you are. And to really do that hard work to try to be okay with what's happening.
Right, right. And I think another thing is, this is so funny, but I think sometimes people feel judged for judging. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they feel like, I shouldn't have this feeling, and I don't want to communicate that at all in this podcast. Like, the fact that you have those feelings, that you come to the table with these anxieties, that's up to me, that's up to you, that's up to us as practitioners to help build that trust and safety and comfort. It's, you're not a bad person for having those feelings. Those feelings come to us unbidden. We don't choose them. You know, and so if you're worried about going to yoga because you have those feelings, it is an act of bravery, and it is difficult to walk in there, just because we're doing this simple podcast or we have a webpage talking about being non-judgmental doesn't mean that people aren't going to have that experience, but it's okay to have that experience. And you'll find, I think most people find, that if you break through that first initial kind of trust barrier and let us prove to you that you're not going to be judged, that you'll relax. And I really do think that bleeds into other parts of your life, you know, that you start to have a little bit more acceptance. And I know that that's happened for me in getting work done, because I have similar things, you know, just like anybody does.
Yeah, a little more kindness and acceptance, both internally for yourself, but also
for others.
Other people.
Yeah, especially in yoga, you know, like you see a group of people and you're like, oh yeah, they're all stumbling just like me. And that helps, you know, staying locked in your world where you think that you're a terrible person is usually not very helpful in overcoming those things. We wanted to keep this podcast fairly short, but I did want to mention there is another class of things. We've been talking a lot about body image, which is kind of usually the first thing we notice. But something that prevents people from seeking care at all and even coming into the treatment room in any way are more social factors, social reasons that people are judged, you know, such as being a member of the LGBT community. You know, a lot of people in that community, as Rowan has written about on the blog in Portland, and as many people all over the world have talked about, you know, people feel judged to come in for healthcare, and therefore they tend not to seek healthcare until things are already very challenging. And so, you know, I people say, oh, that doesn't happen in Portland. Oh yeah, it happens in Portland. You know,
not only that, but I want to mention too, that, not only that there might be this perception that judgment might happen, but also the assumptions around who you are and who you're with and like what your lifestyle is like, and that you feel like you might need to come in and be educating the person that you're, trying just to get healthcare from.
Right. Right. Like, that's the classic of asking a woman who dates primarily women, like, oh, are you going to, you know, what does your husband think? Or, you know, things like that. Or assuming people are going to get pregnant, or assuming people are going to get married. You know, and then also things like people who engage in all different types of practices that may be a little bit outside of the norm sexually, right? So, what people will sometimes call kink, or these types of, you know, BDSM communities and stuff like that. Like, if you have bruises or, you know, other types of things, or you do play piercing, or you do these other types of practices, you may feel that a healthcare provider is not going to be able to understand that, you know, and it's true. If somebody comes in with bruises that look like they were caused by another human being around the arm, around the leg, you know, some kind of handprint, this kind of thing, it's natural and normal, I think, for as a healthcare practitioner to ask questions about this, because you want to make sure that somebody's not being abused, that there's not some kind of bad thing going on. But I think many people who are in that realm feel like they can't even have that conversation, mm-hmm. and wouldn't even enter into a space where they might be judged in that way. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, even though I have to say we don't do a lot of internal education about that, and we probably should do more work around some of these things that people encounter less often, mm-hmm. The reality is that we really try to hire people and communicate an energy of acceptance of all types of practices. You know, human beings engage in all kinds of things, and just because it's not something that you do or it's not something you've seen doesn't necessarily mean that it's dangerous or bad. Sure. You know, and I think those types of factors, you know, especially in the realm of sexuality and gender, can be very, very challenging. But and I'm sorry to just go on, but another thing on the I hate to say this, but on the other side of the divide, or, you know, kind of in a different realm that many of us, especially in Portland, don't think about, but that we have thought about more in Astoria, is, you know, in a general way, healthcare practitioners in the natural medicine field or holistic medicine field have a reputation for being quite progressive, quite liberal in their political leanings. And I think that's pretty true and on average for the professions. And so people who are more on the conservative side of things and maybe have a set of opinions that are they think would be opposed to those practitioners will sometimes also not seek out that care because they feel like culturally they're not going to fit in. They're going to be judged for their opinions. And you know, that never occurred to me before moving here that mm-hmm. would be a problem. But I definitely, you know, have had patients talk about that, mm-hmm. about having gone to acupuncturists and heard rhetoric or other things that were very hurtful for them. And, you know, it's just a reflection of the intense divide in our country that people of all political stripes feel like they can't get the help they need, you know. And you know, I don't know if you want to talk any more about that, but I think those, you know, those social factors and political factors prevent people from accessing care just as much. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of astonishing that people get healthcare at all with yeah. all the barriers.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, those things, you know, those aspects of things, especially on the political spectrum, you know, it's also something that's very important to us, you know, mm-hmm. to make sure that people of all religious faiths, of all socio-political, you know, within the context of healthcare, you know, I care for people. Mm-hmm. I don't care for politics. Mm-hmm. You know, when I walk into the treatment room, whatever my private opinions, whatever activism I may be engaged in, whatever other types of things I may be into, for me, when you walk in that treatment room, you're a human being deserving of care, and that's the end of the freaking story.
Sure, for sure. The other thing I wanted to mention, too, we're just feeling like there's barriers to mentioning, like, drug and alcohol use or pharmaceutical use, things like that, in the world of more, like, natural medicine. I had somebody relate to me a story the other day that they were talking about how they went on an antidepressant and they really felt like that was what they needed to do in their life, but they also were going to see a naturopath and they really thought that the naturopath would advocate that they don't be on that antidepressant, and they were surprised that the naturopath, like, supported them in that decision, you know. So just noticing that there's other ways, you know.
Right. Yeah. Just because you're on an antidepressant, just because you take pharmaceutical medications, doesn't mean necessarily, at least not at Watershed Wellness, that a holistic health practitioner is going to be like, oh, that's terrible. Why are you doing that? Like, yeah, there are drugs that personally I see that cause some harm to patients. And that's incontrovertible. Like, there's plenty of data out there that some drugs are damaging. There's no doubt about that. But I'm not going to judge the person for that, nor is it within my scope of practice to have a conversation with them about getting off that medication. Mm-hmm. Now, if a patient comes to me and they're like, I'm on this medication, I don't want to be, then I'm happy to work with their healthcare provider and them to find a way, you know, maybe to replace or find a way for them to feel good in their bodies despite stopping that medication. But nobody should ever feel like, oh, I don't want to tell my acupuncturist I started an antidepressant, because mm-hmm. if you're feeling that way, there's a barrier of trust between you and the practitioner, and that's always going to limit the capacity for healing. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned drug and alcohol use, you know, that's a common problem. You know, anybody who's you know, especially people who are self-medicating, there's a lot of stigma around that, especially now with the opiate crisis. There's a lot of impetus for people to hide that kind of stuff. But even just smoking pot in an illegal state, people are still really embarrassed about it. Mm-hmm. It's like, don't be embarrassed about it. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to judge you because you smoke pot every day. Like, I'm not going to judge you. And, you know, if you're drinking, that's where it usually comes up for me, is that, you know, people tend to underreport their drinking. and because they feel they'll be judged. Mm-hmm. Part of it is that they don't want to, you know, some of it, especially if it's a very high rate of use, it's sometimes it's hiding from oneself a little bit because you don't want to accept that. But often it's just that you don't want to tell somebody else because you don't want them to give you a hard time about it. And again, like, yes, if you're drinking, you know, 2 bottles of wine a day and it's causing you tremendous problems in your life, we're going to have a conversation about that. But that conversation about what is right for you in your life, what is right for you in health, doesn't have to go to the point of judgment. There's mm-hmm. a difference between clinical reasoning and having a conversation in a respectful way about somebody's health and life and judging them as a bad person because they happen to be drinking more than the average person.
Right.
So that's the kind of stuff that really, like, drives me up the wall when I hear that practitioners were saying, like, wild things to their patients about who they are and, mm-hmm. and what kind of life they're likely to have just because they drink or just because they smoke pot or whatever it is. So, you know, I mean, I guess this whole episode is just to say, like, that set of factors, those things that might be preventing you from engaging fully in care or seeking care at all, you know, at least there's one place that I can feel pretty confident in saying that's not going to happen,
right.
You know, and, you know, and if it did, if there was ever anything that one of our practitioners did that was off, we would seek to correct that and to make restitution to that person as quickly as possible. But we've not heard of anything like that happening in 10 years. So, so anyway, the point being, come in for care, who you are, you know, you're a human being and that's what matters to us the most. If you need help, then we want to help you. So any last words?
I think that does it.
That's a pretty good one. So, you know, our podcast has been a little bit intermittent. We're trying to get on a better schedule. One of the best ways that you can help us is just by giving us comments and letting us know that you heard the podcast. And if there's anything else that you would like to hear us talk about, you know, maybe there was some topic here that we brought up that you'd like to hear more about or from other practitioners about. So you can always go to watershedwellnesspodcast.com. There's a form on that page that you can submit comments to. You can always just email us as well or reach out to us on social media. We have Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter accounts for the clinics. So feel free to reach out anytime, and hopefully we'll be talking to you soon. Thanks for being here.